shit show. It's a fucking shit
Welcome
show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, Setsal Saturday, folks. How are we doing? Today's episode is a recording from a recent Shit Show support group. This is my online community for adult children of dysfunctional families, where we put the fun in dysfunctional. Now, if you are looking for a place to feel seen, heard, and understood like never before, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can get real-time support and feedback from those who know exactly how you feel, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can show up as your shit show self and be unconditionally loved, supported, and accepted, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can find others who are committed to doing this difficult and at times extremely painful work of unshackling ourselves from the wounds of our past and becoming our true and best selves, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where people embrace calling themselves recovering shit shows and enjoy cursing and can find the humor in this big old mess that we're dealing with here, then look no further than the Shit Show. See the link in the show notes to damn the join shit show. Come on, we're waiting for you. We are waiting for you, damn the join shit show. Also, please give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, at Adult Child Pod. And last but not least, and as always, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple, on Spotify. Thank you. Love you all.
They say that I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard, like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
Relationship martyrs. Many of us have gone so numb and discounted our feelings so completely that we have gotten out of touch with our needs and relationships. We can learn to distinguish whose company we enjoy, whether we're talking about friends, business acquaintances, dates, or spouses. We all need to interact with people we might prefer to avoid, but we don't have to force ourselves through long-term or intimate relationships with these people. We are free to choose friends, dates, and spouses. We are free to choose how much time we spend with those people we can't always choose to be around, such as relatives. This is our life. This is it. We can decide how we want to spend our days and hours. We're not enslaved. We're not trapped. And not one of us is without options. We may not see our options clearly, although we may have to struggle through shame and learn to own our power. We can learn to spend our valuable hours and days with the people we enjoy and choose to be with. God, help me value my time in life. Help me place value on how I feel being around certain people. Guide me as I learn to develop healthy, intimate, sharing relationships with people. Help me give myself the freedom to experiment, explore, and learn who I am and who I can be in my relationships. So when I was getting ready to interview Tim Fletcher today, which got rescheduled, but I was listening to some of his videos last night, and I was listening to one that was about like the big lies in relationships. And he was talking about, let's see if I wrote a note about it. The first part was about how the lie of who we think that they are, like when we first enter the relationship, you know, who we perceive them to be. And I don't even think necessarily it's who they sell them to be, but who I make them to be, you know, in my head, in the fantasy of who they are. And then just when you finally realize, you know, who they are, and just like this, you know, this effort, this need for it to go back to the way that you felt about them in the beginning, and just like this chase for, you know, the fantasy part, or, you know, the beginning part, and wanting them to be who they are. And once you realize this big lie, like how you just got to go, you just got to accept it and go. And also if there's a lack of trust, and if there's no respect, how a relationship, you know, can't move forward. And he was saying that like, once you realize that somebody doesn't respect you, Like, that's it. You got to say, like, all right, I deserve better than this. And it just really makes me sad for myself that, like, what I was willing to accept, especially, like, on a conscious level, to feel a certain way about myself and yet act with such little respect for myself in certain relationships. It really just continues to just baffle me to think about just the big lie that we were all sold. You know, I just posted an Instagram post of, like, you know, like, the one of the most damaging beliefs that we can internalize is, like, the belief that our parents' mistreatment of us is because we're not good enough. And I just think about how, like, we're all just sold this big fucking lie. And a lot of us aren't necessarily conscious of that, but it just causes us to settle for mere crumbs in pretty much all aspects of our lives, you know? So, yeah, so that's where I'm at. Come on, you martyrs.
So the relationship I'm thinking about in my life right now is with my husband. And this is the one relationship where there's joy and laughter and boundary setting. So it all sounds great. Yet at the same time, my husband and I are both kind of like, I don't like to label, but I'm going to, like, avoidance attachers. I could walk into my house with a full length mink coat on and my husband would not notice. And that is exactly how I want it. Like the avoidant attacher is like, pardon me, actually, get out from up my ass, right? Especially without an invitation. He's the same way. And I used to think, like, how lucky, right? How fortunate I am. Maybe he is too. But over the years, what I've come to realize is that the me that, you know, is avoidant is really the me that's saying, don't ask a lot of me. I cannot deliver. And he's the same way. So somehow it works, right? Maybe it's dysfunctional, but I'm not in pain with him. I am not in a struggle with him like I am, like, with my family of origin. So I can't explain that. I can say that after a string of really, really dysfunctional significant other relationships, when he came into my life, I can distinctly remember thinking, I have to do this different. And the first thing I did was I just decided I'm going to lay my shit on really, really thick. Like, I'm going to tell him I am a full-on hot mess. And this was 26 years ago. Are you still in? And he was. So I was like, okay, I guess this is good. Like, I'll just keep laying it on, right? And but it's not like he was needy or needed drama. He's stoic. He's like a 6'3" with a goatee and bald. He looks like a bouncer on a Maury Povich talk show or something. Like, and then I realized this too. I was looking for someone to help me feel safe. And he didn't have to say anything. Just his presence did it for me. I didn't know it then, but in hindsight, that's exactly what I needed. And then 7 years go by and I'm like, look, you did such a great job at this. I don't need that anymore. Right now I need something else. And maybe, like, more of a humble, emotional connection, but he's Mr. fucking stoic, right? He doesn't go there. And it was for a while, it was touchy because, like, I'm in this mode, like, I know that's what I need and you fulfill my needs, you must deliver. And he never was that guy. So this is a strange relationship, but Jesus, I guess to whatever degree I am dysfunctional or wounded, somehow, whatever we both bring to the table, somehow it works. And when it doesn't, it still does. So yeah, that's the one relationship. Friendships, I can't even go there. But it's one relationship I can speak of in a way where it makes me feel I'm not clear about what I bring, but whatever it is, I appreciate it in myself. I just wish I could manifest it more, which leads to, I need to give myself permission to reach out to people who allow me to be myself, give me the space to just be myself. So shit, thanks.
I've been through just a total shit storm the last 2 weeks. I went back to Nebraska, where I'm from, for my dad's funeral to help my sisters plan the funeral and all that stuff. And then to actually have the funeral. And I was there for like 13 days and it was way too much. And everything that, like, could be going on was going on. Drama and fighting between my siblings. And I got super sick and I had to, like, I was staying at my sister's house, but it was just really bad. It was a really bad environment for me, and she didn't want to get sick. So I had to rent this house. And then the house that I rented was really filthy, and there was like people coming and going. And I had to be like trying to set boundaries the whole time. When I was in this state of like really, like a really fragile state and super stressed. And I did pretty well, you know, it could have been better, but it just really made me think like, God, my last day, the day of the funeral, actually. And then I left like super early the next day. I was just all day long, like, I just can't wait to be home. I can't wait to be home. I can't wait to be home. And once now that I'm home, it's like, wow, like I am 100% completely dysregulated in that environment. And all my tools went out the window. I mean, I did try to set some boundaries, but even when I was away from my sister's house, and even when I was alone and had like worked through some things with the girl who owned the house, I still just felt like completely dysregulated, and I barely got any sleep for all that time. And it's like, holy shit, like it just takes over, you know? And there's some things about my dad's estate that I want to speak up about, well, that I have voiced. And my sister, who's going to be the executor, is really, she just like wants to sell everything. And there's some things of his that I would like to have. And I'm like, do I even want to go into that fight with her? Like, it's not that important, but it also like, why can't I have a choice in this, you know? And so I'm struggling with that right now. We have some time before it's all going to get sorted out and take forever. So, but just like trying to be able to be my true self with my family is very hard. And then I got home and spent some time last night with another family, like an extended family member, and was telling her about some other stuff going on in the family. And she's like, Marie, you need to set a boundary. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize there was this one relationship in my life. And it is someone who might really like has really been there for me through moving here, through my breakup, through just everything. And I'm afraid to tell her things. I'm afraid to tell her to set boundaries with her, because I've seen her react with anger towards other people for not doing things the way she wants. And I didn't even realize that it was like that bad, I guess. I didn't, but I started telling this other family member about some of the situations, and I'm like, holy shit, I've been completely silent. You know, I've been completely like just suffering through it, doing what she wants, and then being mad about it and trying to like just distance myself later, you know, like, so that's something I need to work on. And I'm going to with time. It's just hard when people are controlling. And then that makes me just completely want to isolate from them. So like, she's always trying to get like, say like, oh, we need to hang out, we need to do stuff. And luckily she's actually really busy, so it never happens. But I'm like, I don't want to hang out. Like, we did a spa day in January, and the whole time I was stressed out. Like, how are you stressed out when you're, you know, it's just, there's a lot there. But anyways, family messes me up. And it's amazing the ways that you can fall back into your old habits without even knowing it, or maybe never change them in certain relationships because it doesn't seem like it's that bad. But yeah, anyways, I don't know. That's, my brain's not working too well. So that, we'll just stop there. I'm sure there were other things that were important in the reading and what you guys have said, but that's it for now.
So in thinking about kind of the people that I spend my time with and kind of making choices to be in relationships versus not, a big thing for me the last couple of years have been looking at kind of the groups of people I associated myself with. And that came along because I finally hit a point in my life where I had achieved pretty much everything that I could think of to like go after. And I had all this empty space to have to like sit with myself. And I think coming to the realization that I had spent my life making myself useful for other people started to open my eyes to the fact of I was kind of accepting whatever would come my way, whatever would give me attention. And what that ended up showing me is that everyone that I spent time with, made a hobby of complaining about everything. And it's not just like things going wrong with your life, but things along those lines. It's bringing up people that you knew like 3 years ago and reminiscing on how awful they were, even though you haven't spoken to them for years or had them in your life. And in a way, I think that the people we associate ourselves with are kind of mirrors, and that really started to make me angry that people were complaining all the time. And then I looked at myself and tried to understand why that bothered me so much. And it's because I never complain. I never put my hand up to make my voice heard. And like, that's when I started setting boundaries with people and understanding that like, oh, I actually have some value outside of what I can do for other people. And so I've had a lot of tough conversations the last couple of years around what's acceptable, what's not, what I'm going to put up with. And I very often get put in like the therapist role with people. And I think that I've taken a step back from that for a really long time. And by that, I mean a year or so. It hasn't been that long. It's all a work in progress, but it's coming back around. My grandmother currently is 88. She has dementia. It's going downhill. And my mom has been given the task of essentially being a caretaker, and she has four other siblings, and it's kind of all fallen to her. And she's made herself a victim in the situation by not standing up for herself a lot. And I noticed that I'm a lot better since taking a break from other people and not allowing those other relationships to kind of run all over me with telling her enough, fix your shit, or, you know, stop complaining, because I think that's the only way to get through this. And so I was actually just talking to my sister, because my entire family has the same issue, of course, because that's the way it works. And so now I'm back to a point of being okay, I think, with being of support to other people, as long as I can see that they're actually making the effort to make change, or that their, you know, issues are something that actually worth, I guess, in my eyes, complaining over. I can't say for somebody else what their problem is and what really bothers them, but it's nice to kind of, again, feel some value from the perspective that you can give to other people. Like, I'm known in my family to not put up with bullshit anymore. And that's a nice place to be. And it's also really nice to be able to just jump out of the conversation when I've had enough. So I'm excited to kind of take that as I start rebuilding friendships and like being aware, more awareness in groups, and maybe hear a little less unnecessary complaining.
So I went and saw Inside Out 2 the other day, and oh man, it was super good. But the first one was all like kind of really basic emotions, and this one's like teenage emotions. And I like self-triggered from the anxiety and just every bit of trying to be in relationship with people when you feel like they're kind of rejecting you. And it was such a fun movie and great. And it brought up fun, good things, but it also was really hard at the same time to watch and kind of remember teenage years. And I think that's hard for anyone, regardless of what their childhood was like, but it was just especially abandoning for me, because I'd moved right around the time that I think I moved when I was 10, almost 11. And all of those childhood friendships I built up over so long were suddenly hundreds of miles away. I'm trying to like meet new people and be cool at the same time. And oh man, it brought so much back. And it was all like right around the same time that my mom was relapsing. And so anyway, I was feeling so strongly. I was actually watching it with a friend who's a therapist. We went together, and it's so interesting to get her perspective too, as somebody who walks people through stuff like IFS. And I feel like it would make me more comfortable for the IFS stuff if I created my little cartoon characters and it was just less intimidating and they weren't just little clones of me at various ages. So kind of going into that thought process, trying to think of things and get through it. But anyway, related to a lot of what you said, Jamie, and building friendships and just trying to figure out what means, 'cause I can be what people need me to be, but it's not a relationship. It's me being codependent or people pleaser or whatever it is, and it just never lasts very long, and trying to make big steps and changes.
So, you know, when it comes to relationships, I think the only real safe relationships I have, I would say, are like with my two kids, that I really feel like safe and that it's a trusting relationship. I did have sort of an epiphany after that podcast where we talked about like the circle of boundaries. And it's something that I could never really put to words. I think I sort of knew it, but I didn't know it. I've always considered myself like an avoidant attachment style when it comes to like romantic relationships. But what I think is that when it comes to like platonic friendships, I'm an anxious attacher. And what I realized in listening to that podcast, it was so helpful to me, is that I didn't have any, like there weren't different categories. You know, like if you're my friend, you're my friend, and I expect you to give me your blood to prove it, you know? And I never, without even realizing it, you know, like I'll give you an example. Like if you work with somebody for 10 years, you go to work every day and you work with these people, and these are the people that you've seen, the same people every day for 10 years, 40 hours a week, you get to know people and you develop a relationship. But that doesn't mean that it's a friendship. It's a work relationship. And, you know, I've had situations like that with work friends, or just, you know, I've gone through since starting this work, I've really started weeding out relationships because I've realized that, you know, they were not safe relationships. And I'm going to just say that, like, I finally have an awareness of the fact that, and I'm not beating myself up, but I have an awareness of like my part in that, in expecting from people something that was not realistic as far as friends go. And I don't need to have a million close friends. I need to have a couple people that I can trust, and that's okay. So that's really interesting to me. Something that I did want to share about was, I know that I had put in the chat on Father's Day that I wasn't reaching out to my dad. We don't talk, and I haven't spoken to him in, you know, months, probably at least 6 months or longer. He never calls. He doesn't call for my birthday. He doesn't send us Christmas cards. He doesn't call my kids. He's just, there's no. I had an epiphany there too. I think I'm talking about the fact that I'm no contact. Like, he's no contact, right? But so I didn't reach out to him on Father's Day because it just felt really like icky and fake. And I just don't want to say Happy Father's Day because I just didn't feel like saying Happy Father's Day. It didn't feel authentic. But it's very interesting what I did the day after Father's Day. And I would say this was probably my little inner teenager who wanted to act out and do what I do to get a rise. And I had sent about 20 pictures through the iPhone. And I have to go through his wife because he doesn't have a phone. So I have to send them to his wife. And I just sent a text saying, here's some pictures, updated pictures of the children and grandchildren. Hope you're doing well. And I sent it. And I didn't hear anything back. And I didn't send it with any real expectation. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I think I just wanted to sort of fuck you him because I didn't reach him the day before. But I get a response back about, I guess, maybe 2 days later, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, 2 days later, telling me, you could have at least wished your father a belated Happy Father's Day. And it took all of my energy not to pick up the phone and call and say some really nasty things. Or even better, like send a big long text. It felt good not to do it, but it also, like, just the wording, I got rid of the text because I didn't want to keep going back to it because I knew that if I kept going back to it, I would ruminate and obsess over it. So I just deleted it. But I just thought the wording was so interesting. it was so shaming and trying to guilt me. And it was so typical. And it's never ceasing to amaze me anymore at how these patterns are just so obvious and so consistent. And it's the same thing all the time. And yeah, so, I mean, I guess, you know, that's where it is. And I just thought it was interesting that, I don't know if it's interesting, funny, I don't know what it is, but, you know, just the fact that I felt the need to send those pictures and to do that, because I know it was an acting out. I know I was acting out, but that's okay. Like, it's okay. I'm allowed. And that's it. Thanks.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is a quote about find the people who speak your language so you don't spend a lifetime translating your soul. And I find that it's like you give up so much of yourself of just trying to get other people to understand you. And it's like casting pearls amongst swine. Like there's no reason for you to try to make yourself seen or be heard by other people that are not in the same sphere as you are. Right. And it's like so much of my time and energy has been wasted. And the need to connect and be with a tribe of people is a need. And yet we give up parts of ourselves in order to fulfill that need instead of fulfilling the need for our parts. Right. And so it's a matter of like, I go back to what you opened up with this aspect of you were dreaming about people, of what they could be, not who they are. And that fantasy bond that we have in our mind, because our mind wants to keep us safe, that's its job and its main role. It doesn't care about anything else as long as you are safe, and it will do anything. And part of that safety is you fit inside the tribe. So it's going to make up a story in order to keep you connected to that person in some way or another, right? But in the matter of fulfilling that role of this story, which is some fantasy that doesn't even exist, somewhere in the future, right? And I think about like really strong bonds right off the bat of like the doses of oxytocin and stuff, and like that rush of chemical, and it's there for a bonding experience. So two people are connected, right? But then we get so wrapped up into that. I did for so long. And I go back to small parts inside of myself that never received that from my family. Like in the attachment theory of having a secure attachment, I never received, but yet my part still long for that. And they will make up random stories in order to create that fantasy. So I just keep giving up aspects of myself over and over and over again in order to stay a part of some role. And so in my life, I've been terrified of making friends, of being out there. And for so long, I didn't even have a voice. And I was terrified and stayed stuck in the fear because I was afraid of being in the situation. So what I mean by that is like, I'm afraid of being afraid, because once I'm in the relationship, then I'm in the relationship, and then I have to show up in the relationship, right? Then I have to be my authentic self, because if I'm not my authentic self and I wear a mask and I hide and I don't show them my parts, well, eventually that will come out and those lies will be uncovered. And that's what I'm afraid of, because if I'm vulnerable and seen for who I am and not accepted, then I'm abandoned. Then I'm really, truly abandoned because I showed up authentically. But what I found is the more authentic I am and the more real I am, the people that don't need to be around me aren't around me, because I don't accept them to not be around me. But also my own nervous system, since I'm regulating it and I am grounded within myself and I'm taking care of myself, I don't need those other people. So the only people that are with me are the people that do speak my soul language. And I don't have any capacity for anybody else, because I don't need a million friends. I need a few, right? And I need myself. Like, that's what's most important. So it goes back really to like having self-compassion and loving yourself, of being the friend that you need in the times you need that friend to be there. Because ultimately, I'm the only one stuck with myself. No one else has to deal with me but me, unless I allow them to be in my space. But I'm the one going to sleep at night and have to wake up with myself, right? So yeah, the fear kept me in bondage for a long time. And just taking that risk, because every relationship is going to be like hurt and pain, but that's also what builds the relationship, and every relationship needs tension, and without tension, it doesn't work. So yeah, that's my two cents for today.
Thank you. Mike?
Hey, shit show fam. Speaking of that fear, I'm going to start by just doing a little IFS on myself. I'm really scared right now. So I'm going to tell myself that I'm with my friends. I'm with my family who cares about what I have to say, that I have a voice, and things that happen to me matter. Because I didn't grow up with that. And I got some news yesterday about my job. And long and short of it, I work maintenance, and the company I work for got unhired to continue managing where I live by the owners, meaning that in 30 days, I won't be here living or working anymore. And it was like a gut punch. And also our regional manager was like, but it's okay. You're also going to have a job. And I was like, I'll believe that when I fucking see it. I have been burned too many times. I have been let down too many times to believe what you're saying, that I'm part of this. I'm not going to say my company's name. Let's call it Kmart because it starts with a K. The Kmart family, like, we got you no matter what. We'll find a place for you. And I'm like, fucking let's see. And that is terrifying to me because I really like my life right now. I've worked really hard and I feel more stable than I've ever felt before. And I'm trying my hardest to let my higher power stand up right now and tell me that that is still the case, that I can still be stable, that these things I like about my life will continue in different ways. But like, I really like my roommate Charles. He's like a brother to me that I never had. My older brother's mentally handicapped, and so I got a brother now that's like a mentor and like a best friend and like makes shitty dad jokes and can watch shitty TV together. And his dog Eddie is like my dog, and I don't want to lose that because he sleeps with me every night. And like, it's really nice to have a little furry thing that you care about and like cares about you, that you need to like take outside and walk and feed. And like, that's been really helpful for me to like have a connection in that way and just have this kind of quasi family. Like, he is very straight, so it's a very much a platonic relationship, and that's great that there's no like sexual intrigue and stuff that a lot of my old acting out behavior would choose for me to do. And that's not my life today. Like, I'm not having to struggle against acting out in ways like worrying about hooking up with guys and jumping off and getting a new boyfriend. Like, I'm not doing any of that shit right now. I'm here in the moment facing these fears that I've been so scared of my entire life. And I'm getting to choose differently. I'm getting to choose that, like, it still requires action for me in this next month to do a lot of things. And I don't know how this ends up, but I can choose to believe that good will come of this and that it's a good change. But it's terrifying. And it fucking sucks to be on this side. Because like, maybe in 2 weeks I'll know about my new job and my new place and new that. But today I don't. And I don't want to get caught off guard. And I don't want to get burned. And I don't want to get fucked again. But I'm going to choose today to pick up the phone and call my sponsor like I did. And share a goddamn meeting. My sponsor's like, pretend you're a newcomer again. You call 3 people a day and you call me every day. And I said, thank you, because I need that. I need some support, and it's okay that I do, because that inner child might need a little support right now to get through this, but I know I can get through it. And that's so different. And it feels like stepping into these adult shoes that I don't know how to do it. I'm still that little kid in me that doesn't know how to do this. But I have a higher power who does, and I've got a family of people who care about me and say that this little kid, that Mikey's got a voice, and it matters that he's scared, and it's okay. And it's okay to express that and continue stepping forward and like making progress. And it's so different than anything I've ever done in my life. But I'm so glad I'm here, exactly where I'm at, facing these things that I am. And I don't know how it ends up. I really don't. But I'm going to choose to believe that it gets better. So many times in recovery, I had to believe that. But when I put down the bottle and when I put down my acting out behavior and when I trusted for a fucking 5 seconds, it did get better. And I'm choosing to believe that. And there's going to be times when I don't. That's when we reach out. And I'm making a promise to you now that I'm going to do that. Even when I'm scared and don't want to and feel like a burden, I am not. None of you are as well. And I'm always so inspired by the strength of this room and how we're here doing the work and speaking that soul language and doing that for each other, because I never had that. And I have it today. Like, I'm not striving for it. I have it. I have it here with all of you. So I'm just very appreciative that you're here, that we're doing this together. We don't have to do it alone. Thanks.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.